Steve, it's great to have you on the program again. How are you?
Greg, I'm doing really well. Thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, very good. It's been a good summer. A lot to process probably after not even 24 hours. Tell me how the summit's gone in your eyes. Are you kind of, you're in some discussions, but you're probably drifting in and out and just a lot of information and new ideas, old ideas to process.
Yeah, you know, for me, really, it was just being there at the kind of the hot stove last night. I'm not involved today. And it was more of just some discussion. They had split us up into different groups, and the topic for my group, along with Don Baisley, UVA Krupp, and Haley Wickenheiser and Greg Millen, was more discussing the state of the game, and both from men's and women's perspective, and growing it, and some very interesting discussion. And I think they've got a big agenda for the week, and a lot of things to discuss. Obviously, there's a lot going on in the world of hockey internationally. You know, the KHL, the NHL, a lot of things to discuss. You know, hopefully some good ideas come out of it, and ultimately those ideas are put in place and to improve the game.
And it's one of those things. Brendan Shanahan, your former teammate, was on last week, and we talked about how it's like being in one of those meetings, and you say, well, no idea, and, you know, everyone brainstorm, no idea is a bad idea. There are some ideas that are a little out there, but when you consider every single possibility, there's a lot of changes that have happened in the game, and people said, I don't know if that's going to work, and then you look and you apply it, and it does work.
Yeah, I think I have to throw out ideas, and you know, just you mentioned Brendan in the research and development camp. You have to, you know, continually throw out different ideas, and you know, ultimately one or two are implemented and are real good. And but I think you have to go through the process, and I think anything creative minds are beneficial, and they should be they have to be heard in order to try and improve. But having said all that, I think the game in general is pretty darn good. And you know, myself being down in Tampa Bay now and listening to Uwe Krupp and last night, and the discussion on, we're all trying to grow the game in some form or another, you know, for ourselves in the NHL and a lot of U.S. markets. You know, the game is growing, and I point to the number of U.S. players, you know, from California, for instance, that are being drafted now, and minor hockey teams from the Dallas-Fort Worth area coming up to compete with the teams in the Greater Toronto AAA League. And so the game is growing, albeit at a slow rate, but I think it's slow and steady, and we'll get there.
Steve Yzerman is our guest on the Greg Brady Show. Let me ask you about international play, because you've done it all. You've played in Canada Cups, World Cups in the fall, and you've obviously had the Olympic experience in February. Can we have both? Can we get to a scenario where, and you know, you're a big soccer fan, they would never play a World Championship or a Euro every year. It's pretty taxing on the body. But the idea that every 2 years there is a major international competition, because when you leave it to every four, not that there's a generation that gets missed, but there are guys who may have a great 2.5-3 year span as an elite player, and because of when the Olympics are scheduled, they may miss out on that.
I think, you know, with international hockey, and much like you mentioned soccer, there's just such a, you know, soccer is so popular, and I think a big reason for their popularity is that they play and they put an emphasis on international play. They shut their seasons down. You know, they take international breaks. There's an emphasis placed on it, and they recognize the importance of playing for your country, your national team. There's a different, you know, in the NHL, everybody supports their club. You know, in Toronto, the Maple Leafs, and all the cities support their team. But when you get into international events, you unite an entire country, and I believe that's a great way to grow the sport in the United States, in Germany, in Switzerland, these countries that we're talking about growing it. International play is the best way to do that, and I think that's evidenced in soccer. It's just so much importance placed on it, and so I'm a big supporter of international play. I think looking at the bigger picture, I think there's great value in it.
And the Olympics, as you well know, you get that exposure because there are other sports that are being watched. It literally is every sport. The globe stops for 2 weeks. It's hard in the fall, isn't it, with Canada Cups and World Cups. It's massive up here, but you've lived most all your adult life in the United States. It's hard, isn't it? You got the NFL starting and college football and baseball pennant races. It'd be hard to put a World Cup semifinal game on a Saturday afternoon in hockey and have it get the exposure it deserves south of the border if it's on September 15th.
Well, you know what? I still think you can do that. But these events, they take time. The Olympics have been, I don't know how many Winter Olympics there have been, but since the early 1900s, I think, the Olympic Games have been going on. It's taken time to build that prestige and the importance of the event. You know, the Canada Cup was growing. The first one was in 76. They had it, I think it's been an odd year, 76, 81, and then 84 and 87, and kind of been all over the place, was replaced by the World Cup, and was it a true World Cup? It wasn't, because the World Cup in soccer is every 4 years it goes to a country, and it's a neutral, kind of a neutral event, and really we're hosting that event. It's not a true World Cup, and I think if we want to make the commitment to it and really give it to a certain country or a continent every 4 years, I think that it has potential, but there has to be a real commitment to it, and it can't just be a convenient event for the NHL.
Steve Yzerman, our guest. How do you compare what this summer's been like for you professionally to last summer? I was just thinking, you're probably just finishing up the Calgary camp, and you got a Saddle Dome full. You got the red and white game, and it was just the massive. I won't talk about the expectations, but just the massive attention it gets. Whereas this summer, you've probably been able to fly under the radar more in trying to build a hockey club that already had. Some very good pieces, and you've added even more. What's it been like in comparison, running an international team that's going to compete for a gold medal, to running one of the 30 NHL squads?
Well, there's so much more that goes into running an NHL team. Being a part of Hockey Canada with the Olympic team was one of the greatest experiences I've had in my hockey lifetime, and I'm very appreciative of that opportunity. But I was busy last summer. But it was just a matter of, we had such a good Hockey Canada, had such a tremendous support staff that, for myself, we were so well organized, and it was basically you're picking a team. We're preparing for the camp. It wasn't, my job as manager of the Lightning now. There's a lot more that goes into it. You're hiring coaches. You're hiring different staff members. You're trying to sign players. You're trying to improve your team. There's just so many more things that go into it, and scheduling and a lot more planning. It's very time consuming, and it's been very time consuming, but I've really enjoyed it. I've learned a lot. It's been a tremendous experience so far, but I haven't had an experience quite like this summer before, but it's been enjoyable, and I'm excited about the upcoming season starting and preparing for training camp. So, I'm in there, jumped in head first, and, we're going at it, and I knew that coming in, running an NHL team involves so much more than just in picking the national team.
After you took the post, it took some time to sort of, I'm sure, evaluate the talent you had. You'd re-signed Marty St. Louis to an extension, but I want to ask you about Simone Gagné and acquiring him. He's probably been on your radar, at least knowing him for some time. He was on the Salt Lake team as just a kid at 22. It's hard to believe he's only 30. He's played a lot of big games and had a lot of big moments. What leaped off the page in terms of thinking, well, boy, he'd be a quality addition? Because obviously a lot of other teams would have felt the same way.
Well, I had a chance at the draft in Los Angeles to talk with Paul Holmgren. We were talking about some other things, and ultimately we made a deal for Andre Mazaros for a draft pick. And we discussed several different things, and after that, I had asked about what he was doing and what he needed to do, what he was looking to do, and for myself, I was trying to add another top six forward. I couldn't quite handle all of Simone's contract in order to make that deal. I had to move a player, and so ultimately we were able. Philadelphia was we agreed on Matt Walker and a draft pick for Simone. But I was looking to add another top six forward, another scorer with the mix there, Philadelphia had to make some changes and were wanting to make changes, so we were able to come to an agreement. But Simone had speed. He's a good two-way player. and can contribute offensively. So I feel we've, you know, with his addition, that we were able to, you know, solidify our top six and you know, become a quicker team as well.
And his playoff had to be real encouraging to you. I mean, he scored 9 goals in 19 games, but, you know, was hardly fully, you know, you've lived this movie before. He was hardly fully healthy throughout the playoffs, yet the Flyers don't go where they go without him being the contributor he was.
Yes, you know, and he played, he came off a broken toe. I think he had pins inserted in his toe and played the playoffs with it and played very well. And for me, Simone has 1 year left on his contract. It gives us a chance to bring him in and see how he plays and get to know him and see if there's a fit moving forward and also improve our team in the short term. So, you know, we're very pleased to be able to make the deal and that Simone was willing to waive his no-trade clause to come to Tampa Bay.
I know Guy will you know, ultimately determine lineups and power play time and whatnot. Give me your sense, your expectations for Pavel Kubina and what jumped out at him as an unrestricted free agent.
Well, you know, he produced quite a few points last year in Atlanta. And after trading Andre Mazaros and Curtis Foster signing in Edmonton, we obviously looked at our defense on July 1, and there was a huge void there, and thought, you know, we better get some players in here. What I liked about Pavel, one, the simplest thing is he's a right shot. We needed a right shot on defense. He's a big body that can play a lot of minutes. He can play on our power play, so we felt that you know, on the power play, he can replace Curtis Foster's shot, the right shot on it. He can play more minutes, and he's a big body and. You know, I talked with with Vinny and Marty about him. Obviously, they played with him in Tampa before and vouched for his character and were very excited about the opportunity of him coming back. So, you know, we were able to get Pavel on a contract that worked for us and that he was willing to accept to come back to play for us. But, again, we were able to, I find, add Simone Gagné, add Pavel Kubina in place of a couple other defensemen and he provides a real fit in some needs that we have.
We got less than a minute, Steve. I greatly appreciate the time, but I did want to ask as well about Dino Cicerelli. You went into the Hockey Hall of Fame last year. Dino played with you for 4 years. A lot of times right next to you, him setting you up, you setting him up. Just talk about what kind of a teammate he was and how pleased you are. It's nice when a lot of the Red Wings fraternity of the 80s and 90s is you know, stepping in, like Luke Robitaille as well. What's it mean to you that that a guy like Dino, after some waiting, can get in and be enshrined with you?
Well, I'm very happy for him. I really enjoyed playing with him. He still lives in the Detroit area and saw him at Red Wings games frequently. He was a great teammate. I enjoyed playing with him. He's an extremely personable guy, has a hot Italian temper, a lot of fun to play with, a great competitor, one of the best, all-time best in front of the net, on the power play, screening goalies, getting a stick on pucks, and really battled hard. And he's not a big guy at all, and for him to take that punt, he didn't wear a ton of equipment either to protect himself. So, I mean, he's a 600-plus goal scorer, and I think it's great for the Hall to acknowledge him and elect him for the Hall of Fame. I'm very happy for him because I think it's something special to Dino, and he's a proud guy, and I'm sure he feels really good about it.
Steve Yzerman, great to talk to you as always, Steve. Really appreciate it, and enjoy the rest of the summit, and obviously good luck heading into training camp with a team on the ice with Guy that should be a lot of fun to watch this year. Thanks again.
Hey, Greg, no problem. Enjoyed speaking with you.